In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Good to see some old friends here today that I haven't seen for some time. And some friends who are part of us who have been unwell and back with us. So good to see you today here at St. Andrew's. I'm encouraging you to pray as we go towards the elections. You will have, I'm sure, covered the news over this last week. Eventful times. And as I've said many times here, we represent the leadership in this parish. We gather to pray. Everybody else is doing all sorts of other stuff today. And in the 12,000 people that we look after, a few have gathered to center their lives in God, in prayer. And one of the things that we must do is pray for the election. So those who maybe have started to pray as a result of the things I showed you last week, that little instruction, maybe that was new for you, continue in it and pray morning and evening as we move to the election. Paul says in our reading from 2 Corinthians, we are wasting away, but we do not lose hope. We are wasting away, but we do not lose hope. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are wasting away? I've always thought of myself as being 25. And then I started wearing glasses. And then not long ago, I went to an audiologist and he said, you're going deaf. In my left ear particularly, so now I've got hearing aids. And if you struggle with coming to terms with your frailty, maybe your memory isn't as good as it used to be. I struggle these days just to get up from the floor when I kneel down. It's a reminder that every single one of us is wasting away. And it will not get better. We can get a bit fitter, perhaps. But it's a very good timely reminder that all of us gradually move towards our death. We are wasting away. But Paul says, I do not lose hope. And by the way, you can read the document later. Take it. It's a little handout today. The reason that he doesn't lose hope is because of the resurrection. Because he believes there's a future glory that is to come. There's a greater story that he has become part of through his conversion. And that's why I wanted particularly today to have our Paschal candle lit, our resurrection candle, because this is what Paul trusts in. He says, I'm wasting away, but I have a hope because of the resurrection. In our little reading, it says of somebody who was called Leslie Newbegin, who was a wonderful missionary, phenomenal missionary, and a theologian. He said to him, somebody said to him one day, how is it you've got any hope for the world? Where is your hope? And Leslie said, what gives me hope for the world is that God raised Jesus from the dead. So it's important, you know, that Christianity isn't just optimistic. It's not just about, if you like, having a positive mental attitude. It's not about lifting your spirits through hard time because, if you like, hope springs eternal. Nothing to do with that. The reason that we have a hopeful heart and we believe that there is a wonder, glorious future for us all is because it's centered in the resurrection. It's because God raised Jesus from the dead. And that is what kept Paul, kept the church, so the most difficult, hard times And that's why they could sing through history, "He who would valiant be, let him become a pilgrim and follow on." It was because of this event, the resurrection. It gave them a completely new hope, even though they were wasting away. Now, the wonderful thing about Christianity is that it invites you, even though we are wasting away, to a continued life of self-improvement. As we gather here today, in one sense, we are the society of the continued self-improvement. Because you see, even though we're getting more frail, Paul says in our reading, inwardly, day by day, we can be growing. We can be growing in faith. Our spirit can be renewed. We can become more like Christ. And that's what gives us hope because of the resurrection. So there are two phases to this. Outwardly, we're diminishing. We're more frail. We're wasting away. Don't we know it? But inwardly, we are being renewed. And daily, we can be growing in the likeness of Christ, right to the very end of our life. So, this is the physical story. This is the physical story. This is the spiritual story. Down, up. There will come a day when Lyndon might be in Northwick Park Hospital. I might be in ITU. I might be surrounded by tubes and being supplied with oxygen. I've been to many people, dozens of people like that, to bless them, pray for them. There will come a day when Lyndon might be surrounded by tubes with oxygen, half awake, conscious, able maybe to speak to his family, I don't know. But the amazing thing is, you might be there too. I might be there sooner than I realize, who knows? But the wonderful thing is, even in this most frail condition of our final breath, still we can pray. Still we can reach out and love others. Still perhaps we can acknowledge others. Because you see, the wonderful thing about the Christian story is right to our very last breath, we can be on a path of inward renewal and constant improvement. So we're wasting away and we're getting older. But nevertheless, day by day, as pilgrims, we can be growing in character. We can be growing in self-improvement. We can be improving right to our very last breath. And it's called holiness. It's wonderful. Right to our very last breath, that's possible for us, even though the physical story is wasting away. I'm talking to a group of mums. There's about 10 of them. I'm saying to them, as we prepare them and the children for baptism, for christening, I say to the mums, what is it you want most for your kids? Tell me. I write it up on the pad, flip chart. They want the children to reach their full potential. Write it up. They want them to be compassionate. They want them to be kind. They want them to have a fulfilled life and a long life. They want them to be loving. They want them to be fair, good team players. I write it up. So it goes. Goodness, kindness, generosity. Reach their full potential. Make the most of what the resources that they have. I write it up. And I say to them, do you know what you want for your child? I say, what you want is wholeness. You want them to be whole, complete. Yes, yes, we agree with that, Vicar. I said, okay, let's use an old-fashioned word for that. You want them to arrive at holiness. Wholeness, holiness. Whoa, never thought of that, Vicar. So deep longing in these mums, their real longing, without even realizing, was holiness. That's what they really wanted. That was their real desire. So I said to them, have you ever thought this is really part of the human story, that all of us really long deep down to desire to move towards wholeness and holiness? And that because of the Christian story, despite the fact that we are wasted away, we can go on this path for the whole of our life and reach holiness, wholeness. Wow. And if you come to church week by week, welcome to the gymnasium. Because we come to church, some people think of church as a hospital, and sometimes it is, because we pray for the sick. But my metaphor most is that church is a gymnasium where we're moving towards our constant self-improvement, towards holiness and wholeness. That's what church is. So is there a big difference between those who come to church and who don't? Yes, there's one big difference. People arrive, they have their own struggles, but as a result of going to church, they should be improving in their quality of character, the people that they are, in their relationships with others. They should be on a journey of constant self-improvement. So after 3 years or 1 year or 5 years or even 6 months, you see a huge difference to what they were before. And if you don't, you need to ask why. Because this is the gymnasium of self-improvement before God. Even though we're wasting away, we can grow inwardly. Imagine that you go to a gym, you sign up, costs you 50 quid a month, I don't know. Imagine that you go there for a year. At the end of the year, there's no difference in your physique. You'd cancel the membership, wouldn't you? Whoa. Think about that in terms of church. We come to church week by week and we think to ourselves, well, maybe, you know, what are we doing with our membership? Are we improving in our character? Are we growing up in faith? Are our pecs any different? Are our biceps any different? You know, where is the, have you got the metaphor? Where's the difference in our improvement? People who come to church should be growing in Christian character because it offers that opportunity right to your very last breath in Northwick Park. You end up there. So this is the glory. So Paul says, I'm wasting away. By the way, he was small in stature. We know that his eyesight wasn't very good. And we know that he wasn't particularly articulate. Very, very good speaker. We know that from 2 Corinthians. I can show you the verse. And yet, nevertheless, he was growing up as a saint. The old tent, he said, is wasting it. He was a tent maker, but the new tent is being renewed. On the back of our little sheet today, is a list of characteristics that we can grow in. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. In the gymnasium of continued self-improvement, daily we should be growing in love, increasing our joy, bringing peace to one another, growing in patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we're not, we need to ask why. If you find that people get stuck and they're exactly the same person as they were all those years ago, even though they've been coming to church for years, you think, whoa, what's happening? Where are the fruits of the Spirit? In the gymnasium called the church, even though we're wasting away, these characteristics should be growing. And often we say to people, he's just like that. Barbara says to me, you're becoming more grumpy. You're becoming more grumpy, even though you're in the school called the Gymnasium of Self-Improvement because you're a Christian. You're becoming more grumpy. It's not happening, Lyndon. We should all be changing. Let me give you one simple thing today to think about. Maybe there are people that you really struggle with in a relationship. You don't get on with them. I can cope with the folks here. I have a lot of trouble with my clergy friends. The lesson to me in the society of continued self-improvement, because I'm moving towards wholeness, is how am I going to get on with them? How am I going to forgive them? How am I going to love them? How am I going to really meet them at the peace and really embrace them? How am I going to learn those behaviors that reach out to them and treat them as a true loving friend, even though they wind me up and they push all my wrong buttons? And there are people here like that, maybe, that you struggle with. But let me challenge you. In your work life, wherever you are, make an effort this week to reach out to them in new ways so that you become different. Have you ever met somebody who was suddenly changed and they became different? Wow, he's different. He's changed. That's what the Christian story is about. It's about constant change. And we just get stuck. But if you get it, to be a pilgrim right to the very end of your life, you can be doing this constantly, moving towards wholeness and holiness right to your very last breath. You can become a giant spiritually. So guard your relationships with those people that you don't get on with. Make a renewed effort before it's too late. Embrace them in new ways. Learn new behaviors. Don't be a part of the society that just got stuck. And embrace change daily. Holiness. Wholeness. It's actually what those mums really wanted for their kids, and they never knew it. They never knew it. It's what you really want. If you only knew it. I'm wasting away. But inwardly, I seek wholeness. We pray that you do too. Amen.